Well, once again, thank you for coming on this Father's Day. I hope you've had a good Father's Day so far. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that this morning, about our Heavenly Father and our relationship with Him. You know, there's a lot of people today that didn't have a earthly father in a sense of maybe they were absent or other circumstances that took place. And there's many, many people like that. And just a reminder of that we have a Heavenly Father, don't we? And He is there for us, cares for us, and loves us. And He can do a much better job than our earthly father ever could. And what a great reminder to all of us about this. And I want to talk about today a Father's Day perspective on having a right perspective about this Father's Day. Now, Luke 15, you know your Bibles, in particular, verse 11, we're going to talk about the prodigal son. And so often the prodigal son gets all the glory and attention in this parable or this story. But I want to focus in on something that we often overlook, and that's the father here. It says that he said, a certain man had two sons, verse 11. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. What a wonderful story that we see here this morning. And looking at truly the father, what a great father. I reminded of the three little boys on the playground one day in school, and they were bantering back and forth and arguing about whose father was the strongest or whose was the best. And one little boy said, well, my dad's the best. He's the strongest. He's the smartest. And they went on and on. And he said, in fact, my dad's really rich. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He says he can sit down and he can jot a few words down on a piece of paper, and he makes it all rhyme, and he calls it a poem, and he sells that poem for $100. And they all went, whoa, $100. Wow. Little boy next to him said, oh, that's nothing, man. Nothing. My dad sits down and writes out a couple pages of words and makes them rhyme, and he sells it as a song, and he gets $1,000 per song. It's, whoa, $1,000. Oh, man. Wow. Hot dog. And the third boy's looking at him like, oh, these
ding-dongs, this is nothing.
He said, my dad will write down a couple pieces
of paper. He makes some of them rhyme, and he makes it all put together in a nice little thing. He calls it a sermon, and it takes three men to gather all the money up from that.
Not in our case, one little boy.
Okay. And by the way, does anyone have an offering?
We need your offering. I forgot. And so, I like that, though. We think about our earthly fathers, but we also think about our Heavenly Father. Now, the Bible is very clear that we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us, but also, let me just say a couple things to our fathers here this morning, that you already know most of this, but it's just a good reminder to our fathers here. The Bible is clear in Deuteronomy chapter 6 in particular that we're to teach our kids the Word of God. We're to teach, Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 in particular. Teach them the Word of God. Teach them. Talk of them as you walk. Talk of them as you sit in your house. Talk of them as you sit down in the evening time, getting ready for bed. Teach your kids the Word of God.
You say, well, they can't read very well yet. They can listen, can't they? You read it to them.
And just surprised that my two older girls already, they say stuff about the Bible, you know. They can remember things and hear things and all of that, but we got to teach them the Word of God, and I want to encourage you with that. Teach them. Teach them the Word of God. Don't leave that to Mama. It's not her responsibility. Now, Mama does a great job, And she teaches in maybe homeschooling or other things, and you dear mothers do such a wonderful job. But the Bible's clear, the fathers do need to teach the kids the Bible. Now, coming back, also says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, Paul says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Discouraged, how many kids are discouraged or frustrated? You remember being frustrated as a kid, right? You want your dad or mom to do something, they wouldn't, or they may have provoked you in a certain way to anger instead of correct discipline. And it frustrates you, it discourages you as a kid, and all that goes with that. He makes it clear, though, to the fathers, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurturing, admonishing those kids in the Lord, of the Lord. And so, again, you know these verses, but what a great reminder we ought to be as fathers to our children, be fathers to them and say, I want to do what you want me to do, Lord, in helping my children. This world, if you leave the raising of your children to this world, you already have seen what happens. It's a wasted life, isn't it? It's wasted. Most 15 to 18-year-olds today, their goal is to go out and get some real nice job or get a good education, which that's a good thing. And make some good money, have a good income, and all that's a good thing. How often is the Word of God on their hearts and the Lord on their minds? And have they even asked the Lord, Lord, do you want me to do this? Lord, what do you want me for my life? Rarely have they asked. And I believe it directly comes back to that. The father and mother in particular, raising the kids rightly under and in the Word of God. Now thinking through this, the father is here presented with a very big dilemma.
As younger son says, Father, give me.
Notice that, give me. Give me what I deserve. Give me what I want. Now, our perspective today, I just want to bring it in. We're thinking about our relationship with the Heavenly Father, right? How often do you ask the Lord, give me, instead of thank you?
Or give me, instead of Lord, guide me, help me. Wonderful story here I read of a card company that produces birthday cards and Father's Day cards and Mother's Day cards. And they put out a story one time and it said that they sent a box after box of Mother's Day cards to a local prison. And they set out a table and said, take a Mother's Day card and write out and send it to your mom for free. We'll provide it. They said the line was out the door. Almost every prisoner in the prison came to the table and took the card and wrote a card to their mother. They had such a good result from that, they said, well, let's do it again for Father's Day that June. And they came and put out stacks, boxes and boxes of Father's Day cards in the prison. And they said that there was only about 20, 25 guys that showed up. None of them else had a father. None of them else were influenced or even had a father in their life. They just didn't have it. And I read that, I thought, boy, that's true today, isn't it? And a reminder, if you didn't have a heavenly or earthly father, you have a heavenly father today. Now let's look at our perspective about that. Notice number one I have here, there's a selfish request from the son. A self-centered and selfish request. It says in verse 12, he said, give to me. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now them, you know, there's an older brother, there's a younger. The older brother is going to show up in just a little bit here.
But he divides it. Now the father didn't have to do any of that, did he? He didn't have to divide any. That was the father's. That was the father's in of money that he had made, all that he had done. And the youngest, give me what I deserve. Give me what I want. You ever like that with the Lord? Lord, give me. I want, you know. I catch myself so often, and it's sad, but you think I say, Lord, you've got to give me. He doesn't got to give me anything. You've got to help me. No, he doesn't. And we're at his, really, I say this very kindly, but we're at his disposal. Really, the Lord. That doesn't mean he treats us like a puppet. People think that, oh, you do whatever God tells you to do, God directs your life, and if you don't like it, he'll shove you over there anyways. No, that's not biblical. That's not the Bible. God loves us like a father. Galatians, Paul brings out and he says, you were in bondage to sin, but now you're adopted by God, the Father, and now we say what? Abba, Father. That's an endearing term. Abba, we would say today, would be like a dad. Daddy, we would call out, Dad, can you help? Daddy, would you lead and guide me and provide? Abba, Father. Endearing. We have that today. This young man had a self-centered request. Self-centered. Now, we know the Lord gives us a free will choice in life. He allows us to choose our own paths. We have to be careful, though, because I love this quote. God has given us the privilege of making the choices in life, but he sets the consequences, doesn't he? He sets the consequences. People say, well, I'll live the life I want to. I'll do what I want to do. But later they don't want to deal with consequences. Now think about this with me. First of all, this choice that he made didn't affect just him, did it? Well, I'll make this choice. It'll affect just me. No, it doesn't. It affects the people around you. I'll take my inheritance to go live. And it says he righteous living, he party, he other things. And we can add to that. And he wasted his life. He wasted all the money. Wasted it. I read recently of an athlete, superstar. And at one time, he was at the height of his career. They gave him, I think it was the NFL, gave him the highest, basically, contract, payment, paycheck. And where is he today? Broke as a joke. Has no money. By the way, when the money goes, the friends go, don't they? Oh, got all this money, got all this thing. Boy, got a nice car. When you get rid of all that, your friends go away, don't they? They go away. And he's broke today, and he's sad, and the story went, and he's just so, you know, all this stuff. He's depressed and lonely and all these things. And so many people like that. But thinking about our relationship with the Father, your requests, how have your requests been lately? Your prayers been, are they selfish? Are they ones that are seeking selfish things, pleasures? We see no argument from the Father here. He gives his son what he asks. He gives it to him. Now again, the Father's looking to give us what we want. People don't realize that. Right? People don't realize that. He wants to give us what we desire, what we want. But when we, as we've talked about a little bit last couple of weeks, as we submit ourselves to God's will, our will becomes his will, doesn't it? His will becomes my will. And now I'm praying, not, Lord, give me that brand new Harley. I'm praying, what? Lord, help me to reach others. Help me to do what I want. And in the meantime, God will bless you. God will give you. By the way, none of us can sit here today. I know I can't say, well, God's not blessed my life. God's not taking care of me. God never gives me what I want. That's a lie. He gives you everything you want. Everything you want.
Now, thinking through and understanding, notice the unrestrained appetite. Unrestrained appetite. He goes and lives this life of debauchery and shame and wastes his life. Proverbs 23, verse 2, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite, meaning you have no control, no control over it. There's unrestrained appetite. Thinking through the scriptures here, the repeated, I think about Samson. Remember Samson? Boy, he was a guy that had an unrestrained appetite. Solomon had an unrestrained appetite. He just could not control it. He could not pull it together. He had all that he needed. The Lord was so close to him. God was working in his life. He was the most powerful man in all the earth. He was the richest man, the wisest man, by the way, to ever live. Wisest. And yet he couldn't control his appetite, his fleshly appetite, his desire for more, his desire. You say, well, I don't have that. We think through, though. What are you seeking? What are you coveting after? I've got to have it. I've got to have it now. We've got to have it. Number two, notice the unforeseen trouble, though. The unforeseen trouble, verse 14, it says, and when he had spent all, there arose. When he had spent all, there arose. Isn't that interesting? He spent all of it. He had no investment. He had no plan for the future. People live for the moment. I chuckle, they took all those shows off the television now, those cop shows, you know, all those kind of shows, because it's politically incorrect now, so they canceled all those shows. But I chuckle at it because the guy's driving down the road, okay, no license plate, or it's hanging off like this, just drawing attention to the cop, flat tire, smoke coming out the back, so he gets pulled over. I saw one guy, he had no headlights on at night, so the cop pulled him over. Hey, why do you have no headlights on? Oh, I forgot. And the guy goes, well, by the way, I can smell, you know, something in your car. You got anything in there? Nope, we got nothing in there. You know, people are just ding-dongs, aren't they? And they think about it, they live for the moment. And they're just like, well, whatever happens, happens. Living for the moment. I'll do whatever I want to do. They just recently in the news, they robbed an elderly man and took him to the ATM, used his car, got all the money out, you know. The ATM has a camera on it, so these ding are this close to the ATM. Put him in the thing. And the cops come to him later. Did you know you were on? Oh, I have no idea. They just live for the moment. If I can get the money, don't get high. If I can get the money, don't do what I want to do. And that's all that matters. Yeah, but you're going to spend 35 years in prison.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. We think through, so many of us can live that way.
Unforeseen troubles. Live for today. Don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. Don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. This is why I encourage you, and I'll be very cautious about this, but remain pure. Stay pure. Do not go get into any of that.
As I'm talking to especially younger here.
Remain pure. You sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate, right? We all know that. As adults, we're going, oh yes. Be cautious about that. And so many people do. Unforeseen troubles. Listen, you don't have to turn there. Luke 12, verse 19, he says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" He says, "Oh, sit back. I've got all the money in the bank. We'll be good for the next 30 years. And God says, "You fool, you're going to die tonight of a heart attack. You ding dong, you fool, you're going to die. I'm going to bring you home." You think through unforeseen troubles. People today, this is why we stand and sing. And this is why I stand and preach every Sunday. And I try to every Sunday night, Wednesday night, that we need to be cautious and careful about eternity. Be aware of that. Why do you waste all your time at church? Because I'm thinking about eternity. Why are you not living for today, making all the money that you can? Because I'm living for eternity. For eternity. Unforeseen troubles. Let me say number two, though. There was a sobering reality. The selfish request came, but there was a sobering reality. As we read, verse 15, "And went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields, his fields, to feed swine. Who had fain and filled his belly with the husks that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." No man. Now, by the way, if this man was a Jewish man, which many believe, swine, you know, was a no-no. He couldn't be around them. So it was the lowest of the low. It was the most degrading thing. A Jewish man, young boy especially, could not be around. Swine, pigs. And it's the lowest of the low. The lowest of the low. You allow sin into your life. Sin always takes you farther than you want to go.
I never intended to go that far.
Well, of course you didn't. I never intended for it to happen like that. Well, of course you didn't. That's what happens. So many people, they have the grass is greener on the other side syndrome, don't they? And I like one guy said, "Well, once I got over to that other side and finally got all that I wanted, I realized it was just astroturf. It wasn't even real." On the other side of the fence, you're going, "Man, how do they keep the grass so green? How do they do that? They must have a lot of money. They must be smarter than me. They have a better family. They have a better marriage. They have better kids than we do." No, you get over there and you realize it's astroturf. It's fake.
Right.
It's just fake. It's fraud. And that's what the world does. And be cautious again about what you watch and listen to, because it's fake. Social media. It pushes what? Comparison.
Boy, look at them.
Look at them on Father's Day.
Boy, we don't have that. Look at their church, you know.
Look at what they have.
Boy, we don't.
By the way, people, all of us in here post stuff on social media. It's fake. You know, look at this, and look at our house, and look at this, look at all that. It's like, you don't really have that.
But the guy at the gym, you know, I need to put some of these, you know, working out. Yeah, yeah. And he goes like once a month, you know. Another hard day at the gym. Unforeseen troubles, a sobering reality.
Dissatisfied with what we have. Why are we so dissatisfied with what we have?
You ever feel that way?
You're so blessed. I'm so blessed. And we're just dissatisfied.
Well, I don't have that.
Dissatisfied. You have a 2,000 square foot home. Two cars sitting in the garage. Money in the bank account. You have debt. Yeah, sure. You have problems. Yeah, sure. Your marriage and everything ain't the best all the time and things like that. We're human beings. We're so blessed though. And still, we sit at home if you're like me and go, "Look what I have. Boy, I've got to buy something." You ever feel that? I've got to buy something today. My wife goes, "No, put the credit card down." Yesterday, we went to the thrift store. And at the thrift store, that's where I buy my books, okay? They're terrible books, usually, but, you know, they're books. And she said, yesterday I bought like 4 books. They were like 25 cents, okay? And she said, "Why did you buy more books? You have no room for those books. You don't need more books." I said, "I just needed the thrill, man. I just needed the thrill. Why?"
You know, some of you have more money and you buy bigger things, okay? But no, I'm kidding. But if you think about the sobering reality, let me move ahead. We need to trust God, and He has you right where you are right now for His purpose. Don't complain. Don't want something else. And by the way, you said it's not all it's cracked up to be. Be content. Paul says later, he says, be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, meaning that's all we need is Christ. Christ is all we need. Kids, you're doing so well today. Thank you for listening. All of you, wonderful. Thank you so much. Sobering reality. He perished with hunger. He had a plan of humility. As he perished with hunger, verse 17, he says, what will I do? When he came to himself, notice that, came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Oh, came to himself. A sobriety, as you've seen on the news and such. People will commit crimes under the influence of certain, you know, things. When they get into prison and sober up, what do? Oh, man. Oh,
notice that. When he came to himself, not living this foggy day-to-day life of, well, everything's going to be fine, everything's good to go. And no, when you spend time daily in the Word of God, and when you spend time daily in prayer and fasting and looking at God, say, God, I want to know, I've got to know what you want for my life. It's a sobriety, isn't it? Paul says, walk, be sober, be vigilant. Walk circumspectly in this world. Walk around. He perished with hunger. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, he said he humbled thee. Suffered thee to hunger, why? And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You say, well, how do we know what the words of the Lord are? How do we know what God said? I believe, and I know you do as well, it's contained right here. 66 books, cohesive books. The words of God preserved for us today, not by bread alone, meaning, you know that, money. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You seek the Lord, you're not going to want any good thing. You're not going to want it. Now, you may need things. I need this. Yeah, sure, God says I'll provide. I need to eat lunch today, Lord. You know that. Sure, I'll provide you. Pick anything you want to eat. You can eat it in America. But you will not want any good thing. Want. God's desiring to give us what we want if we'll seek Him, seeking the Lord, looking to Him. Several verses here. Let me jump ahead. Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after money. Does it say that? No. After what? Righteousness. Righteousness. For they shall be filled. Notice that. When you hunger and thirst after money and materialism, it's not a guarantee you'll be filled, right? Not a guarantee. You're just winging it. You're going, I'm stepping out, and I hope I get filled. No. With righteousness, it's a guarantee to be filled. A guarantee to fill that inner emptiness, if you will. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Notice, never, never. He will take care of you. He will provide. There's a perishing with hunger, but there's a plan of humility. Verse 18, I will arise. I know what I'll do. I'll rise and go to my father. I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, I'm willing to go back and serve at the lowest level of dad because that's much better than being in the pig pen. Much better. Much better. And to be a servant of Jesus Christ and serve him. Sometimes we get discontented. Lord, I don't do much for you. I don't serve in a great way. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And it's better to serve here in the house of God than go and serve as a slave out there in the pig pen of the world. And that's what he says, a plan of humility. Plan. Before Proverbs 15:33, before honor is humility. Humility always comes before honor. Proverbs 18:1, through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Through desire, he separates himself. Humility. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Every time you try and lift yourself up, it always fails, doesn't it? I don't want to be. I want to exalt myself, lift myself up, and fail. Humble yourselves. He'll do it. He'll do it. 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God's time, he'll do it. I like this quote, swallow your pride occasionally. It's non-fattening. It's non-fattening. Go ahead and swallow the pride. The smaller we become, the more room God has to work in our lives. More room. The more room. And so we think about the humbleness, the humility that he shows, and that should have been at the beginning, shouldn't it? Father, I realize what I have. I realize that. And as fathers, we're training our children not to have a hunger and lust for the world and for worldly things. And that's what this young son did. He looked at his father and said, "Ah, we're a bunch of ho-pokes out here. We're fuddy-duddies. We're just hillbillies out here in the field, you know? I want to go out in the world." Remember old the guy on It's a Wonderful Life? What was his name? "I want to go see the world." Mary. "Hello, building alone." "I want to go see the world. Kick the dust off this old crummy town." As fathers, we need to help them and say, "Kids, that world is not where you want to be. You want to be right here. And I want to show you what the world, what the Lord has for you. I want to show you what God has for you and what the world can do." I think about the father who went to church on Father's Day. He'd never gone to church very much in his life, and he decided one day, "We're going to go to church today." And he said, "Son, get ready. We're going to church." The son was kind of surprised. "Okay, Daddy," got ready, put on his best little suit and tie he could muster up, and they got in the car, went to church. And sure enough, they got to church, and the father started to complain. "Oh, it's too long. It's too boring. The pastor just talks incessantly about nothing." Hey, and don't say that. He goes on, and then he preached about tithing. And then he passed the offering plate around three times. He made that little boy go around four, five, six times. He just complained and complained. Finally, it was over, and he left. And he got in the car, and he said, "Good night, son. We're not going back there, man. That was terrible. I knew it. I knew. That's why I didn't go to church." And the son piped up in the back and said, "Daddy, I thought it was a pretty good show for just a dollar." Cheapskate. You guys, did you get that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got that. Okay. Adam, you wait back there. He's awake. Hey, he's got the good chair. Sobering reality. Notice that. Okay, let me wrap it up here. As we think about, he says, now coming back to this and thinking through, what's your relationship with the Heavenly Father today? Do you have the right relationship? Has it been self-centered requests? Do you need to come back to this and realize, boy, a sobering reality, I have all that I need in Christ. I'm going to stay close to Him. But notice thirdly, I put here, the sinner has been received. The sinner is received. And notice that verse 20, and he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now the sinner received. That's each one of us today. I pray for you. I pray that if you're not saved, you're not sure of that, you make sure of that today. I'd love to show you from the scriptures how to be saved. There's unmerited favor shown on the part of the Father. The Father says, "I'll give you this favor," which we call grace. Grace is a wonderful thing in the Bible. You ought to study the word grace in the scriptures. Grace is unmerited favor from a holy, righteous Father to a sinful human being. That's grace. It bridges the gap. And it helps us to live in this world. It gives us the strength, directs us. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men." It's available to all men, but we have to accept it, don't we? The sinner received. Notice that. And how much grace does God bestow upon all of us every single day, doesn't He? Every day. He keeps me from harm. He keeps me from going off the deep end. He keeps me from some type of bad relationship. He keeps me from my kids and my family from the things that we shouldn't be there and the harm that the world is seeking in our lives and all of that. The grace He bestows. The sinner has been received. That father should have said, "Son, no! Did I wake you up? Can't come home. No. Where's my money? Oh, I wasted it, Dad. Get out of here." "Where's all that I gave you?" "I wasted it." "Get out of here, you loser. You're no good. I still got the older son. He's the one I like. He's the one that I want to give the inheritance to. He's the one that stuck around. No, what does the father say? Before he even came back, before he even arrived at the house, the father was already coming to him. Isn't that like our God? Oh, I read that sometimes. That makes me cry a little bit. Because you think about the love of God, before he even got there, the father looked out and he saw and he said, "Hey, that's Billy." I don't know his name. "Hey, that's whoever." And he jumps up and he says, "Man, that's the father we serve." You may have had a crummy father on this earth. You may have had that. And thank God, I'm so thankful I had a godly father stay so faithful throughout the years. But you may have had a bad father. Listen, the Father, Heavenly Father, before you even, he's already there. Before you even, "I already know, Tim, what you need." "Oh, okay. Lord, I messed up, he says, I know. Now, come on, let's get back to it. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to, you still deal with some of the consequences of that, but come on, let's keep going. Come on, let's keep focused. Come on. Unmerited favor. Let me hurry here. Number two, the undeserved love. Oh, the undeserved love. Psalm 103, verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You will not pay, if you're saved, you will not pay for your sins, meaning a separation from God and the eternal damnation. You won't pay, but you will have to pay for the consequences, right? All of us know that. But there's an undeserved love. He's removed those sins from us by way of that. That penalty of sin, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also had once suffered for sins, notice this, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. Quickened in the spirit. The just for the unjust. In him, the Bible's clear, there was no sin. In him was no sin. And he suffered the death of a sinner on the cross for you and for me. We were unjust, right? Unjust. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together, having forgiven you all trespasses. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's peace. There's peace. Sin must be dealt with one of two ways, punishment or pardon. And that's clear. But let me say by way of conclusion, as he stood there with his father, notice verse 22 and we'll be done. The father said to his servants, notice, bring forth the best robe, one, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, two, and shoes on his feet. Just very quickly, when you come to the Lord, whether you're backslidden or something, you need to repent with God, or you need to be saved, notice what happens. First of all, there's the robe he puts around you. There's the robe, and that's a provision. He provides. He gives you what you need. Can you imagine how nasty this guy smelled? I mean, he was in the swamp. He was in the pig pen. He had no way of cleansing. Obviously, he had no shoes. I mean, what happened to his shoes? What happened? He probably sold them. Hey, I don't know what to do. He had nothing. He smelled bad. He was nasty. And the father came and hugged him, didn't he? And he put his best robe on him as a provision. As a provision. You and I, you know very clearly by Scripture, we are called and termed sinners. We have not done anything on our own. It's God and puts a provision around us. Number two, he gives us the ring. The ring is identification. Identification. The New Testament is clear on that. We identify. We are now adopted. We're now part of him. We identify with Christ. They said, hey, where'd you get that ring? Oh, my father. Does it have his insignia on it? Yep. Oh, you're so-and-so's son, huh? Yep. Identification. And then he gives them shoes. When God saves us or when we get right with God or get into a relationship back with him, what does he do? He gives us brand new shoes. For what reason? To get into action. To get into service. Not to sit, sulk, and sour. So many people, well, I'm saved, just wait for Jesus now. Armchair Christianity. Lazy, apathetic. No, we do it to serve. He says, now, okay, you ready to serve, Tim? Yes, sir. Ready to get busy? Yes. Yes. And by the way, you got to be using your talents for the Lord. The world leaves you filthy, famished, and forsaken. God gives you all that you need. The robe, the ring, and the shoes. I like that. Now, what is it like in your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Heavenly Father, do you have selfish requests? Are you seeking him? Do you say, Lord, I want to know what you want me to do? I realize you've given me the unmerited favor, the undeserved love, the undeserved love. What is your relationship like with Heavenly Father? Let me close with this story here. I read a story of a German botanist, and he found a precious, rare flower, and he'd been looking for it for many, many years, and he saw it, but it was on the edge or the side of a steep cliff. That little flower was growing on the side of a steep cliff. He couldn't get to it, and sure enough, he was trying to think about what to do, and he was going on and on, and sure enough, these people were walking by, and all of a sudden, they look up and see a little boy with a rope tied around his waist, swinging back and forth by that cliff. And the guy, the German scientist or botanist, was up on the top with the rope tied around his waist, holding the rope. He's saying, can you reach it? Can you get it? Can you get it? And the people down below said, what are you doing? You're going to kill that boy. Son, you need to get down. You're going to fall and die. He says, oh, no, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. He says, that's my dad. That's my dad. He's got me. He's got me. That's my dad. Aren't you worried you're going to fall? No. That's my dad. He won't let me fall. He won't let me fall. My friends, today, aren't you thankful we serve a God like that? Our Father, oh, he loves us. You may not have had a very good father on this earth, but you have a Heavenly Father. He loves you. He loves and cares for you. And he wants you to realize that maybe you're not where you should be. Come back home. Maybe you haven't been saved. I believe all of us are. But if you're not saved, he wants you to come home. Hey, come to him. Why? Because he's waiting to love you and give you that unmerited favor and that undeserved love. Amen. I'll stop there today. I hope you've had a good day already, but have a happy Father's Day. Realize the Father we serve. Oh, how he loves us. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for an opportunity again, as I say, to share your word. Oh, and I'm so thankful, God, that you're such a good, loving, we can't even fathom the depth of your love for us. It's clearly seen daily, Lord, in our lives. It's clearly seen. And sometimes we miss that, Lord. We fail to see that. And Lord, as that little boy was swinging across that cliff, he said, I know, my Father's got me. Oh, that trust and that care and that concern, that trust in that Father. Lord, help us to do that. Seek you this week. Come back to you, Lord, if we're not where we should be. And Lord, if anyone here today doesn't know you as their Savior, Father, they would make sure of that today. How we love and thank you. In thy precious holy name we do pray. In Jesus' name and amen. Amen. Thank you.